faith from a coffin. I want you to think about this a little while, but faith from a coffin, because if you think back in your life, you know there's a lot of our loved ones that have already gone on to be with the Lord. Maybe you visit that old graveyard sometime or another and think about your loved ones that's been in that grave maybe for several years. And to think about that, and this next year, the year that we're living right now, this 2011, you know, there may be some of us this year that's going to be put in a grave if Jesus Christ don't come back. We have no promise of the morrow. But I know myself that death is not the end, it is the beginning. We have so many promises in the Word of God to us as a Christian this day. I want you really to blot them down, or write them down. Don't blot them out of your heart, because they're in the Word of God, some promises. Jesus Christ said, I'll go away and prepare a place for you. When I prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you into myself, and where I am, there should be also. Jesus Christ said, I will send the Spirit of the Lord when I leave. I'll send the Spirit to be back with you and be your comforter. He said, absent from the body is present with the Lord. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. We know that faith from a coffin. This new year, faith for the future. Not just faith for this new year that we in right now, but faith from this year right on out into eternity that we need to understand. Before Christmas, I was preaching on the life of old Joseph, and I first sermon it was that salvation was pictured through Joseph, and it is a great picture. From chapter 37 of the book of Genesis to the end, we have several chapters and several verses in the life of Joseph. Next, I talked about the Father and Sunday, seeing Jesus through the life of Joseph. Now we come to this part of Joseph's life and his death. In his death, he lived by faith, and also Joseph died by faith. And what Joseph, I want you to realize the same thing that Joseph realized, the promise of the Word of God. God is so great to us. And I want you to think about faith remembers the unbreakable promises of God. Faith relies on the unshakable powers of God. Faith rests in the unmistakable peace of God. You need these three today. If you've ever needed anything in the Word of God, you need these three today. Because if old Joseph knew that one of these days that he was going to die, I want you to realize that today, that you and I are the same one. We know that we're going to die. But there are some promises of God, and you need to understand these promises, because you're going to have to rely on these promises of God. Now, as I said, there were several chapters in the book of Genesis telling us about the life of Joseph. But we come to the New Testament, and there's only one verse of Scripture that described Joseph. And that's a Hebrews chapter 11, the great hall of faith, and verse 22. And it says, by faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and gave commandments concerning his bones. Let us pray. Jesus, our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you so much for the unbreakable promises that you have promised your children this day. Father, not just this day, but throughout all eternity. And how, Father, we need to grasp the truth of your word, that you cannot lie. They're unbreakable. Circumstances and time will not change your promises. Father, how we need to grasp this, to understand that you're talking to us today, your children. And Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for help us get a handle on the faith that we need, oh God, to face tomorrow, to face eternity, and to know, Father Jesus, that you're in control. And the promises that you made many years ago is the same promises the day that you will keep out into all eternity. Father, I pray each heart here be laid open and bare before us today to understand, Father, the great God that we serve, and the Lord Jesus Christ that died on the cross of Calvary to make these promises so. Father, if they weren't here today, has never accepted you, Fathers never walk down this aisle, God, and let the world know that they believe in you, God. We pray today will be the day to give them that strength and energy and power. But Father, we just pray that you might bring back and unite, Lord, that faith that they need today to face tomorrow. Not the tomorrow of this coming year, but tomorrow of our eternity, when time shall be no more. We thank you, we praise you for your precious word that leads us and guides us each day of our life and even out into eternity. Again, Lord, we want to thank you for visiting us in a very special way. For living in us, oh Lord, today we just pray that you might hover over this church. Lord, it says in your holy word, as a chicken, wings stretched out over her brood, that you, Lord, might warm us up in the Lord Jesus Christ this day. In the name of Jesus Christ, we do humbly pray, and amen. Faith or blessings in a box of bones. Also, you'll find out we'll be speaking a little bit from chapter 50, the book of Genesis, the last remarks that Joseph made in the book of Genesis. If you'll turn to that, if you want to read with me. But we're talking about the blessings in a box of bones, talking about Joseph, about believing the promises of God. Joseph was not afraid to die, not one bit. I myself are not afraid of death, not one bit. I may be afraid of the act of dying. I'm not afraid of the consequences of death. Understand that. I'm not afraid of the consequences of death. I may be afraid of the action of it. I do not want to leave right now. And I feel there might be a fear of the action of death, but there are no fear in my heart of the consequences of death. Because I'm relying on the promise of God that I know that my Jesus Christ promised me that I would see him face to face. Jesus promised me if I lay down in death, there will be a resurrection day. Not for me, but all those that believes in Jesus Christ. If I'm not dead, the rapture comes, I'll be called up to meet the Lord in the air. I am not afraid of the consequences of death. Action, yes. Joseph, the same way. He was not afraid of the consequences of death. Now, people don't like to talk about death. I don't like to preach about death. People don't like to think about death. I'm going to tell you, if you talk about death, they'll change the subject. As we men change the channel on the television, they don't like to talk about death. We are the only creatures that God made that know that we're going to die. Without a shadow of doubt, every one of us knows that we're going to die. But yet we desperately try to forget this. We try to pass it off. You take ladies, for instance, not just picking on the ladies, but you have all type of things on television, this aging cream and the lift. You know, you lift the body in every different directions. And the hair. Maybe that lady is wearing too much makeup, trying to look young again. Maybe it's that man that's past the middle age and wearing a gold chain around his neck and his shirt unbuttoned and driving a sports car trying to look like a teenager. Why do we try to do this? Funeral homes are fixed for our comfort to make us not think of death, and graveyards with all the flowers on them to get us away the idea of death. Joseph was ready to die, but he depended upon the promise of God, and he believed God's promise. I hope you believe God's promise today, because you know if Jesus Christ don't come back, every one of us here are going to face death. We're going through the grave if Jesus don't come back. I believe there'll be a generation, I believe we're living very close, when there will be a rapture. But he made mention now concerning his bones, Joseph did. He wanted God to have all there was of him. You think about the bones. He wanted God to have all there was of him. He says, I don't want to be caught dead here. But I give you a little skeleton outline here this morning about old Joe, Joseph. In the book of Genesis, the last few verses of Genesis, and here's what old Joseph said concerning his bones. Genesis chapter 50 and verse 22, and Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house, and Joseph lived 110 years. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation, that's his great-grandchildren. He was playing with his great-grandchildren on his knee there. The son of Manasseh were brought also upon Joseph's knee. And Joseph said unto his brethren, listen, I die, I'm going to die. And God will surely visit you. Now, you write this down and remember this. He said, now, God is surely going to visit you. 300 years before God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land into a land which he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and he shall carry you up and my bones from hence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him and put him in a coffin in Egypt. Faith from a coffin. God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land and carry my bones with you when you go. So they embalmed old Joseph and put him in a casket, put him in a coffin there in Egypt. Now, for several hundred years, now, they was living high, mighty, and free at this time. But God is going to keep his word. And I want you to understand this morning, those that's already in the grave of our loved ones, and we may go through that grave. We will not stay in that grave. We're going to be with the Lord. Faith must be rooted in the word of God. You don't decide to believe something and call it biblical faith. I'm going to tell you, God must speak before you have faith, biblical faith. Romans 10 and 17, faith come by hearing and hearing the word of God. People say, if you got enough of faith, that's faith on faith, and that's no more than positive thinking. That is not biblical faith. You don't make it so because you believe it. Faith is responding to the word of God. It is so because God said so. Then you believe it. Many today will say, you know, you name it and you claim it. No, God names it and then you claim it. That is biblical faith. Faith, remember the unbreakable promises of God. You have biblical faith this morning. It must be founded in the word of God, not what you think, not what you feel, but what God says. Joseph made mention of his bones when they was in a place of favor. He was the prime minister of the known power of the world. He was in second command of the power of the known world. They lived in the choice place of Egypt. They lived there in Goshen. They was not slaves. They was not mistreated. There was no reason for anybody to want to think that they would ever go back to the land of Canaan at that time. I want to tell you, they was in a place of a great, great blessing there through Joseph and God. But appearance makes no difference to the promises of God. When God speaks, appearances don't make any difference. Time does not diminish his promises. You remember that. It don't matter what it appears to you this day, no matter what trouble that you're going through, no matter what the future looks like, appearance don't change God's promises. And time, as we look back upon that old cemetery, time as we look back and see our loved ones, time does not diminish God's promise. He said there will be a reunion day. He says one of these days these graves shall open. One of these days we shall meet the Lord in the air. One of these days we shall have a new body and we shall know Jesus Christ. Shall we be like him? 300 years before God made this promise to Abraham, Joseph relied on this promise. How do we know this? How did Joseph know that God was going to do this? In Genesis chapter 15, if you jot this down, verses 13 and 14, and he said unto Abram before his name was even changed, Joseph knew the word of God. He says, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. Joseph knew the word of God. Joseph reacted on the promise of God in Genesis chapter 15, verses 13 and 14. He had already knew this. He knew the word of God. That's the reason he made mention of his bones leaving out of Egypt. Faith acts upon the word of God and not depend upon appearance. Joseph, when he learned, he says, "Take my bones with you when you go. Take my bones with you." He did not say, you know, maybe so. He said, "Take my bones with you because God says." People said, "I have faith." Well, how do you measure your faith today? You say you have faith today. You know, God measured a portion of faith to every one of us. Faith comes from God. You cannot have biblical faith unless God speaks it. How do you know, everyone in here this day, how do you know the measure of your faith today? By what you feel, your experience, what people says, "I've seen this, I've done this, that's my faith." I want to tell you how to measure your faith, how God says to measure your faith. And you measure your faith by the knowledge, listen to me, by the knowledge of the Word of God. How much of the knowledge of the Word of God you have in your heart, that's how much faith that you have and when you act upon it. It's not by feelings, it's by fact of what God says. If you want to measure your faith and you think you are somebody that really has a lot of faith, well, you measure your faith by the knowledge of the Word of God you have before you this day. That is exactly the way that you measure your faith today. D.L. Moody, he said, "You know, I wanted faith. I just feel like I didn't have enough of faith." D.L. Moody was a Billy Graham of his day that shook too confident for God. He says, I just feel like I don't have enough of faith. So he prayed and prayed and prayed about faith. "I want more faith. I want more faith." And then he read in the verse of Scripture, Romans chapter 10 and 17, "Faith come by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." I mean, that's the way that you're saved, and that's the way you live, and that's the promises that God give you. Faith comes by hearing. You must have the Word of God. You must hear the Word of God, not just for salvation, but to live and to act upon it as Joseph did. Faith comes by hearing, and he heard the Word of God, that God would surely visit these people 400 years and bring them out. Faith is by hearing, and the hearing by the Word of God. Billy Graham always used to say, "The Bible says so. The Bible says so." You need to take that down and remember that the Bible says so. So I want you to remember what God says. Now, faith is remembering the unbreakable promise of God. What has God promised you out into the future? What has God promised you? You remember that because it is unbreakable. It is unbreakable. It's the promise of God that cannot lie. And then when you understand that, you have the faith to rely on the unshakable power of God. When someone promises you something, they must have the power to fulfill that promise. And have God got power? Jesus Christ says, "I have all power in heaven and earth." God has the power, the unbreakable power of God, to give you this promise and tell you it's forevermore. You need to depend upon these promises of God, as rely on the power of God. When you have a promise, you need somebody who has a power to keep that promise, and God has a power to keep that promise. In that same verse of Scripture already read, it says in Genesis 15:24, "God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land." God, at this time, we know that they was in bondage at 400 years. They stayed in bondage for about 300 years. You know, God brought them out. With great power, God brought them out. They crossed the Red Sea. He made the Red Sea an interstate highway, and they left out of there. Faith, I'm going to tell you, does not depend on circumstances, and time does not diminish God's promises. Just think about that. Now you say, "You know, I have a feeling." Now, feeling does not change the promises of God. You know, the devil wants to get you off on feelings. If I feel this way and I feel that way. Do you feel saved sometime? Feeling is, that's very, very far from the Word of God. It's not what you feel, it's the fact of God. Feeling does not change the Word of God. The just shall live by faith. You remember old Martin Luther? Not Martin Luther King by no means, but Martin Luther in the 1500s. You know what? He was a monk. He was a monk, he was a Catholic monk, trying to live righteous every day. He was walking up and down the stairs of Rome there, and he was saying just about repeating the whole Romans road and the Romans book. He was going up and down those stairs trying to be holy, exciting the Word of God, saying, you know what? I believe the Word of God. I believe the Word of God. And then, you know, he is trying to be holy by doing some type of penance. And he was reading this. He come to Romans. It says, the just shall live by faith. And the light of what God's Word was released on him. And then he understood. He said, if the just live by faith, why am I trying to do this? Why am I trying to be holy? Whenever God makes me holy, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. It's the just. Jesus Christ made you just. You're just this morning because of Jesus, not what you've done or how you live your life. It's Jesus Christ that makes us just. We're justified by Jesus and his blood that we just sung about. So the devil tries to counterattack us when we take it by faith. And he tries to counterattack us and get you over on the feeling side. Do you feel saved? A young man got saved in a crusade, and you know, he gave his heart and life to Jesus Christ the best you know how. Then he got back home, and the old devil, as he always does, and he probably have done you this same way. Are you really saved? Are you good enough today? Are you really saved? You sit here in this auditorium right now, and before God in this word, is everybody in here saved today? I mean, do you really feel like you saved today? Well, this young man didn't know no better. There's a lot of time we don't, and the devil kept telling him when he got back home, you're not saved. You're not saved. You're not saved. You're not saved. Well, he got to think about what that preacher said. That preacher was preaching there on John 5 and 24, which is your spiritual birth certificate. John 5 and 24 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but shall be passed from death into life. And that young man read that again. He says, you know what? He says, I heard his word. And he says, you know, believe on him that sent me. I believe that God sent Jesus Christ. He says, have everlasting life. He says, I have everlasting life. And it seemed like he said the devil, he's sitting on the couch reading this, and it seemed like the devil was under the couch just whispering to him, you're not saved, you're not saved, you're not saved. And the young man, you know what he did? He took the Bible and he stuck it under the couch. He said, all right, devil, read it for yourself. Now, you know what? That's not too bad theology. That's not too bad. Because when devil try to get you to doubt your salvation, you say, here, devil, read it for yourself and don't argue with him. He's not worth it. He's not worth it. Because you see, if you just give him the word of God, guess who's going to win every time? It's not worth it. That's your spiritual birth certificate. John chapter 5 and verse 24. Delays did not change old Joseph's faith. 300 years, Joseph's bones. Now he died. Now his bones there is in that coffin. There now they begin to be, they buried him there in Egypt. Time cannot erode. Now listen, God's promises. In Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3 and verse 4. Here's what God said to Habakkuk when Habakkuk was concerned about what was happening to his country. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. But the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it. Because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. It will come, though it will tarry for many of us, though it is tarried for those that's already in the grave. It might tarry for us, but it shall come. It will come. God says it is going to come. Old Job, he didn't understand a whole lot, but he says, Job chapter 40, verse 14, if a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. I'm going to tell you, Jesus Christ came out of that grave and appointed it at appointed time. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 and 4, it says, know this, that there shall come in the last day scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For 2,000 years now, Jesus was going to come back. He's not come back yet. Preachers have been preaching this for 2,000 years. 2,000 years preachers have been preaching, I believe Jesus is going to come back soon. It might be in my time. It might be in your time. It might be before we get out of this building today. I believe Jesus Christ coming back. They said, but listen, scoffers, those who make fun, scoffers are those who make fun of the Word of God, dilutes the Word of God. Do not believe the Word of God. They always have been, always will be. Scoffers making fun of it, making light of the Word of God. In that same book, now it says, for 2,000 years, the preachers now says, where is the promise at? But God don't have to wear a wristwatch. Did y'all know that? Time means nothing to God. It says in that same book, chapter 3, 8 and 9, it says, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as men count slackness, but in longsuffering toward just, not willing that any should perish, but all should come through repentance. Here's old Joe's bones. Been there now for 300 years. When y'all leave, says, now you take my bones with you. Well, old Joseph is dead now. They rose up a Pharaoh that knew not Joseph, and they come under great bondage. Come under great bondage, as you think about this. Well, we find out faith rests on the unmistakable peace of God. He had peace, though. Well, we find out Exodus chapter 13 that there's a man named Moses. A man named Moses. And listen to what it says in Exodus chapter 13, verses 18 and 19. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up, harnessed out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him. For he had straightly swore the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you. Here's old Moses now. They're getting ready to leave Egypt. You know what he says? Boys, go get old Joe's bones. Go get old Joe's bones, and for all the wilderness journey, for 40 years, cross the Red Sea, 40 years, there's old Joe's bones. But you remember now, Moses was not allowed to go into Canaan land because he disobeyed God. He couldn't go into Canaan land. But they come up to the edge of Canaan land after 40 years, and there was another man named Joshua. Y'all remember Joshua as he crossed the Red Sea? Crossed Jordan, I mean. War, divide the land. In about the last book of Joshua, chapter 24 and verse 32, now here's what it says. And the bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel brought up out of Egypt, buried them in Shechem, in a parcel of ground which Joseph brought for the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver, and it became the inheritance of the children of Israel. And the bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel brought out of Egypt. Here's old Joshua now, many years later. Moses brought them part of the way, and here's old Joshua carrying the rest away. Why didn't Joseph say to take my bones with you? Why? Why not just be leave me there in Egypt? Well, Joseph was in second power of the known world, had all the power that he needed. You know, the power of the emperors at that time and the kings of that time, the pharaohs, you know what they done? They built great monuments, the pyramids, to be buried in. Why didn't Joseph have a pyramid buried for him? Joseph could have built a great pyramid to himself, but Joseph wanted to be remembered not for a pyramid or a monument, but he wanted to be remembered for his faith. Y'all need to remember that. Joseph looked forward for that great getting up morning that he knew was going to come. Joseph wanted to be part of everything God was doing. The Old Testament says in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 2, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and some to everlasting contempt. Listen, the saved and the lost, they're going to be awakening one of these days. For those that are lost and those are saved. A New Testament in John chapter 5, verse 28 and 29, after he had called Lazarus from the grave, he says, now marvel not at this, for the hour is coming which all that are in these graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. They're going to be an awakening for all that's in the graves. It's going to look like a plowed field one of these days. That old cemetery, they're going to wake up. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17 says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so ever shall be with him." 1 John 3:2 says, "Beloved, now we are sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know this, when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." But you know, there's a promise of the lost person, of everything that Jesus Christ has done, for that person will not accept Jesus. Every time the sermon was preached, every time the Spirit of God tinkled with that old heart, and that person said no. Said no to the name of Jesus. Jesus Christ said he's a name above every name that every tongue shall confess. Every knee shall bow. You're going to meet God. You're going to meet God. And Joseph knew. Joseph knew that death was not the end. You know, he says, "Now, take my bones with you and bury them in Canaan." So now they're in Canaan land now. And I could see as they buried him, they're in Canaan land. Maybe, you know, there was a chuckle from a knuckle. Maybe there was a grin from a shin. Maybe there was a glee from a knee. Maybe there was a lot of ribbing going on. And that same song, I believe that we can sing it. These bones are going to walk around. These bones are going to walk around. And I believe my bones is going to walk around one day with a new resurrection body that Christ has not promised me, but all those that love him. Joseph knew this. He knew this. These bones are going to walk around. Paul says, you know, in 1 Corinthians 15:51-52, "Behold, I show you a mystery. You shall not all sleep, but we all shall be changed in a moment, a twinkling of an eye, the last trumpet. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall raise incorruptible, and we shall all be changed." Oh, what a day that will be, when my Jesus that I shall see. And when he look upon him, when I look upon his face, the one that saved me by his grace, and it takes me by the hand and leads me to that promised land. What a day, what a glorious day that will be, for the promises of God has come true. Are you dependent on the promises of God? Well, old Paul says, "Oh, death has been an enemy for a long time." In 1 Corinthians 15:55, it says, "Oh, death, where's our sting? Oh, grave, where's thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." You know, 2,000 years ago, the old bony hands of death put his hands on Jesus Christ and put him in a cold slab. In that old tomb, and old death sat upon that old tomb and clapping his hands. And then there's one day, and a second day, and a third day. And the cold chains of death were broke by Jesus Christ come out of that tomb. Jesus Christ reached and pulled the sting out of death. Pulled death from that old throne and threw him on the dungeon floor. The crown rolled from old death's head. Jesus Christ grabbed that crown and put it upon his head. He put his foot upon his neck. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus as he come walking out of that grave. Oh grave, where is thy victory? Give him glory today. Give him glory today. Because I live, he says, you shall live also. And that old song goes, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. There's a tomorrow. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. I tell you, Joseph didn't live for a pyramid in Egypt. He lived for a mansion in glory. Although pyramids have been broken into and they shattered and they're falling apart, but when Jesus Christ made that mansion in glory for Joseph, it lasts for all eternity. And that's what Joseph was living for. He promised us a mansion, that he'll prepare a place for us today. the blessing in a box of bones. As we know that Joseph was dead several hundred years while they were still in Egypt. And those blessings and that faith from a coffin makes me think as his body was put in that old coffin, and then for those 300 years they went into extreme bondage of difficulties along the way. And I just imagine as some father will carry his son down to that great place where he was at his state at and laid there in that coffin. And they would look at that old bones of Joseph, that old coffin, and that remind him that Joseph said, we're going to leave here one day. All these difficulties, don't worry about it. There's a promise of God. We want to always be through this. And that gave them something to look forward to because of the promises of God. But you see, there were some good times after Joseph died, that before the Pharaoh was raised up and knew not Joseph. There were some good times. And that would tell them of the good times, don't get settled down here, you're moving home. And I want to tell you, this blessing from a box of bones, this fate from a box of bones, the difficulties and hardship that may come your way, I can assure you by the word of God that don't worry about it. God has promised you all these promises. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He's promised you one of these days that you'll have a glorified body. He promised you he would not leave you in the grave. There'll be a great waiting day. So you're having a good time today, are you? I mean, things are going good. Your family is going good. And everything is going good. But see, you think about those box of bones of Joseph. Don't you get tied down to this old world because things are going good, just like those people there in Egypt, the Hebrew children. Don't you get settled down because you see, you may have a good time now, but don't get settled down. This is not your home. We're leaving here. And I'll tell you, for this new year coming up, we're leaving here. This place is not our home. So it might be good times, it might be bad times, it might be difficulties. But I'm going to tell you, faith comes from a coffin. And those coffins says, you know what, there's a promise of God that I want you to remember. These box of bones. Because he knew they're going to be a great getting up morning one of these days. About the promises of God. The things for you and your family. It says, remember the faith. Remembers the unbreakable promise of God. Faith relies on unshakable power of God. And faith rests in the unmistakable peace of God. 2 Corinthians 5:8 says, we are confidence. I say, not willing rather to be absent from the body, but to be present with the Lord. John 14:2 says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go prepare a place for you. And if I go prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, and that where I am, you shall be also. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I want to note, are you dependent now? Listen, are you dependent on these great promises of God? You better be dependent upon them. Because just as sure as you sit here this day, you're going to have them. You better know for a surety that God cannot lie. That there will be a day coming if Jesus Christ don't come back. It may be this year that you might face death. But I can tell you, death is not the end. It is the beginning of God's promises to you. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? They come with a song of invitation. If you never relied here on these promises of God, if you never acted on these promises of God, you need to act today. You need to know for a surety these promises are to you, because you understand there's going to be another resurrection morning. Those who do not know Jesus Christ, after the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ on this earth, then the dead that do not know Jesus Christ are going to wake up to the great white throne judgment day. It'll be too late. You better make your promises to God now. Lord, I believe in what you said before it's everlasting too late.